for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2007 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is Thursday afternoon, December the 27th, Ladies 115 Deliverance and Teaching Meeting. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on Cry Out.
Well, bless the Lord. Is this everybody?
You never know, Junior.
You never know. I tell you, I got so sleepy sitting there this morning, and I shouldn't be. I slept 9.5 hours last night. I tell you, for the last couple of weeks, I've been staying up till 1:30 and 2 o'clock in the morning, and I have to make myself go to sleep then. So I think it just was catching up on me. So praise you, Lord. Well, I normally bring this big, huge bag with all these messages in it, but I thought, well, I know that I'm going to speak twice, and I brought two messages, and there just happened to be a few messages in these other little things. So I left all my messages, but I had been thinking over the last several months that I needed to teach down here on crying out, and that happened to be one of them, so I deliberately made sure that one was in there, too. But today I just want to teach on the principle of crying out. You know, so many times we think prayer and crying out are the same thing, but the Bible makes a distinction between prayer and crying out. And there's things in our life that will never change until we cry out to God. Now, when I heard this principle a few years ago, I took my grandchildren, to Bill Gothard Anger Resolution Seminar in Houston, and he taught on the principle of crying out. And so I told my grandkids, I said, now when I get home, if you hear grandmother screaming next door, don't get excited, I'm just crying out. Because they live right next door, and I live on a 116-acre plot of land. And the first time I got out on my knees to cry out, it was so awkward. But I did, and I've been crying out ever since. One day I was walking down the road crying out, Lord, help me! And about a half a mile over on the other side of the farm, somebody was saying, yes, God, help me too! I'm blessed to live on land where I can cry out and the neighbors won't have me arrested. If you live in the city or you live in an apartment, you know, it's kind of hard to cry out, because to cry out, it doesn't mean to say, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. It means, help me, Lord! It's not awkward for me anymore, but you know, you can get in your car and drive on the way to work. Cry out, drive to the park, go out someplace and cry out, because there's things in our life that are never going to change till we cry out to the Lord. You know, if a mother hears her baby fussing, she may be washing dishes and she just goes about what she's doing, she just hears a little fussing. But if she hears the baby scream like something's wrong, she runs in there to rescue the baby. And so God tells us in His Word to cry out. And the first time I did it, it was so awkward. I mean, it was almost humiliating. I got down on my face in my prayer room and started crying out. Now it's easy to do. I do it all the time. My dad's always saying, you know, when you get old, you get 93 and you don't have anybody to talk to, you get to where you can't talk. I said, Dad, talk to God. I said, cry out. He said, God is not deaf. But here are some passages there are some examples of crying out. Maybe some of you, would you want to take Psalm 17:1? And sister, would you take 1 Kings 8:28? And Patty, would you take 2 Chronicles 6:19? Now, someplace when it says call, in certain translations it says call, it's meaning cry out. Would you take Psalms 17, oh, you already have that one, Psalms 39:12? And Jane, would you take Psalm 61:1? And sister on the couch? Psalms, I'm sorry I don't know y'all's names, but I want to. Psalms 88:2. You take Psalms 88:2. And next to Jane, would you take Psalms 102:1? Okay, the first one, Psalms 17:1.
Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of vain lips.
Now you see cry there and prayer there is in the same passage, pray and cry. Okay, the next one is 1 Kings 8:28.
Yet regard the prayer of your servant and his supplication, O Lord my God, and listen to the cry and the prayer which your servant is praying before you today.
Okay, so you see cry and pray. Okay, 2 Chronicles 6:19.
Have respect, therefore, to the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee.
Okay. Okay, Psalm 17, well, we already have that. Psalms 39:12.
Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee, a sojourner like all my fathers.
Okay, who has Psalm 61:1?
Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer.
Okay, Psalms 88:2.
Let my prayer come before thee, incline thy ear unto my cry.
Okay, Psalms 102:1.
Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee.
Amen. And then there's some other scriptures on crying out. Psalms 9:12 says, for he who requires blood remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the afflicted. And Psalms 18:6 says, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help came before his ears. Go to Psalms 18, and let's look at that passage, because there's so much in there that when God hears our cry, I mean, it's like he gets angry and he comes to our rescue when the enemy is attacking us. Psalms 18, verse 6. Let's see. It says, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help before him came into his ears. Then the earth, now look what happens. The earth shook and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains were trembling. You know, a mountain can't tremble, but it can have like an earthquake. But that could be the mountains of the demons in our lives. And were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up out of his nostrils, and fire from his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with thick darkness under his feet. And he rode upon a cherubim and flew, and he spread upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his hiding place, his canopy around him, darkness of waters, thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him he passed his thick clouds, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. And he sent out his arrows and scattered them, scattered the enemy, and lightning flashes in abundance and routed them. Then the channels of water appeared, and the foundations of the world were laid bare. At thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils, he sent from on high, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. You know, the Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. You know, the flood represents us listening to the voice of the enemy. You're fat, you're ugly, your husband's going to leave, your kids are going to go to hell, blah, blah, blah. You're going to go broke, you can't pay your bills. You can get depressed by the flood. And that's why we need to know the Word of God, because if we know what God's Word says, we can say, no, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The children of the righteous are blessed.
All right.
God has ordered my steps. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. I want to say something about accepting yourself. I've never been able to accept my size. And I realize that when you don't feel good about yourself, your body doesn't produce the proper amounts of serotonin, endorphins, dopamine, things that you need to make you feel good about yourself. But if you feel good about yourself, then your body produces all the proper amounts of serotonin, dopamine, endorphins, and things like that. And so I said, well, Lord, I've prayed that I could accept myself, but I don't know how to accept myself. I've tried and tried and tried. And I've been praying in tongues. Lord, straighten out my attitude toward myself. God, give me your mind concerning food. And just praying in tongues, because I've prayed everything you could pray in English for 46 years and really never used the gift of tongues that God had given me. But I found a new way of praying. I bless what I want to see in people, and I lose from them what I don't. God doesn't want, and I pray in tongues for them. I don't even know how to pray. But you know that God has changed my attitude. He's changing my attitude toward food. He's changing my attitude toward myself. I've been doing that with finances. Lord, straighten out my thinking toward finances. I've got difficult people in my life. We all have people in our life that are difficult. And those people are revealing unresolved childhood issues in our own life, these difficult people. And so I'm saying, Lord, you know, I don't even want, unless you want to tell me what I'm praying for this person, I don't want to pray my mind for this person. You know what this person needs. And so I've just been praying in tongues for people, blessing them, commanding discontentment, ingratitude. I can't stand negativity, especially in my family members. You know what I'm saying? God is not a negative person. Negativity is coming out of a wounded heart. And so I'm saying, Lord, I have no patience with these negative people, so give me your heart, your love, your mind for them. God, I can't do it. So that was just a little side thing. Just pray in tongues. If you don't have that gift, then if you want to be able to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you'll come forward afterwards, then I'll get Patty and Jane and all of you other warriors up here to lay hands on you. And I will too. Amen. But you know, when you pray in tongues, you don't know what you're praying. And sometimes the Lord tells you what you're praying. But I've seen a greater anointing in my life since I've been doing that. I mean, I don't pray for 2 hours for one thing, but I mean, if I get up, I've been getting up and praying, and I always have been a person to pray. When you have a son that lives a homosexual lifestyle, that'll get you praying. If you've got any sense at all, you'll be praying for that. But I received the gift of tongues 10 years before I ever used it. And I was ministering to my secretary had been to a Frank Hammond meeting and got the baptism in the Holy Spirit. One day we were praying for this girl that had been satanically richly abused, and I'm telling you, the demons were manifesting through her. I mean, she had a demon that was calling a ruler. He'd say, come down for me, like, and she's screaming and hollering. And my secretary was scared. So she started praying in tongues. And the demon said, I hate those tongues, I hate those tongues, I hate those tongues. I thought, Lord, I repent. My Baptist background has caused me not to use that gift. And I've been praying in tongues ever since. Another time, I always used to pray for people across the room and never lay hands on people. And the demons were manifested in her. And one day I just felt to go over and lay hands on her. And when I did, the demon said, get those holy hands on me. And I went, holy hands? I said, Lord, I repent that it took a demon to convince me about tongues and about laying on of hands. I mean, you don't see that there's any power to that. God says lay hands. Another time I was praying for this girl who'd come out of Satanism. She'd say, get your hands, you're hot. Your hands are hot. Get your hands off me. Thinking, you know, my hands are not hot. But to the demons, they were. And so it's a gift that we need because we don't know how to pray as we ought. But I've seen a greater anointing in my teaching. I've seen a greater anointing in my life, in my witness, in witnessing to people, in boldness, in confronting things that before, if I saw something that grieved me in my family, and we all do see things. I have godly kids, but we all, even the most godly kids, there's things that grieve you. And so I've learned to first get the log out of my eye, because a lot of things they're doing is, I did it too. Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
The things we can't stand about other people are things we've done. They're mirroring.
Mm-hmm.
I've done it too. And I'm reaping this thing through them. But when you get the log out of your eye, then you can go and tell them about their speck. But I've seen a greater boldness instead of before just having my heart be so grieved and not say anything. I'm saying, no, it's time for that to stop. And in fact, I just emailed all my grandkids. And I'm thinking, now what am I going to say if they jump up on me? You know what I'm going to tell them? I'm trying to save you from some future pain. They absolutely adore their daddy, but it was like they were joking and making, you know, he was the brunt of the family jokes, and it grieved God's heart. They didn't mean anything by it. They just absolutely adore their daddy, but their daddy is going through a time in his life when he doesn't feel very good about himself anyway, and he's his own worst judge, and he doesn't need somebody pouring more salt into his self-inflicted wounds. And, you know, that grieves God's heart. God wants children to honor their parents. And for a grandmother, if you sit back and you watch that and you don't say anything, what kind of grandmother are you being? Do you see what I'm saying? Sometimes we may not have people in our lives because they're such idols that we want their love and we want their love and their support and their acceptance so much that we won't speak the truth in love. And I think that's what the Lord has shown me, that may be why I'm isolated from some of them. It's because now, I feel like I've been isolated in a sense from them, and I don't have anything to lose. You know what I'm saying? I don't really have that much of a relationship anyway, so I might as well speak the truth, and maybe it's occurring to me. Maybe that's why I haven't had it, because of the idolatry. Does that make sense? Anyway, back to crying out. another scripture where it says, He sent from on high in verse 16, and He took me and He drew me out of the many waters, which was the flood waters of the enemy. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the calamity, in the day of my calamity. But the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a broad place. He rescued me because He delighted in me. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and I have not wickedly departed from my God. For all of His ordinances were before me, and I did not put away any of His statutes from me. I was also blameless with Him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. You know how you can be blameless toward Him? You won't ever be sinless, because God says if any man says he is without sin, he's a liar. But the way you stay blameless is stay confessed up. 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. The Bible says Job was the most righteous man that lived upon the earth because he feared God. And he turned away from evil. And that's what being blameless is. Walking innocently before the Lord. Whenever you blow it, you ask Him to forgive you, and your heart is back right with Him. Now, if your mother and father wouldn't forgive you, then it's hard for you to believe God will forgive you, but he's not like your mother and dad. I was fortunate to have a mom and dad that was very forgiving. So it's easy for me to know God will forgive me. It's harder for me to believe in physical healing. And I've been examining that. You know, when Jesus healed this man that they had lifted down through the roof, and Jesus said, which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven? Or take up your pallet and walk? It's just as easy to say. So now, Lord, why is there a little doubt about some things? And the Lord said, your mother and daddy don't believe in healing, but they're very forgiving. So it's easy for me to believe God will forgive you, but a little harder because to believe that he'll heal you. And so that was one of the barriers to me believing God, is because I had made a judgment on my mother and father trained me up to not believe in healing. But they trained me up to believe in forgiveness by their example. Does that make sense? Anyway, that was a revelation to me. Because I have been pondering that scripture for a long time, Lord. What does that mean? What does it really mean that you can say your sins are forgiven and take up your pallet and walk, which is easier? What does that mean? And I believe that the Lord is saying it means the same thing. It's just as easy for him to say either one. Because at the cross of Calvary, he died for your sickness, your sin, your pain. So praise the Lord. And so that's how it says, therefore the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyes. You know, you can be confessed up, prayed up, your hands are clean, but there's still things God's got to show you. But you're being accountable for what he has shown you. And that's how you walk blamelessly before the Lord. Psalms 57:2 says, I will cry to God Most High, to God who accomplishes all things for me. Psalm 77:1, my voice rises to God and I'll cry aloud. My voice rises to God and he will hear me. Psalms 145:19, he will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. And so, when are we supposed to cry out and for how long are we supposed to cry out? Psalm 55:7 says, evening and morning and noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. Patty, read this one. Psalms.
I don't have my Bible.
Who's got their... Linda, read Psalms 86:3.
Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily.
And my translation says all day long. And the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. And so we're commanded to cry out for discernment in life and lift our voice for understanding. Go to Proverbs 2, verse 3. I've been listening to Proverbs at night on Bible tapes since 1992. And I've been listening to the Word of God while I sleep since 1992. But of all those years, 15 years, almost 16 years, I've been listening to this every night. And I make it as loud as I can make it when I'm at home. It's really loud. Because then I can hear it. If I wake up, I can hear it. And I probably, of those 15 years, I've probably listened to Proverbs probably 13 of the 15 years, 92, yeah, probably 13 of those years. You know, I don't know if you know this, but your body sleeps, but your spirit doesn't. And you're a spiritual garden. And some people fall asleep in front of the TV and all this demonic seeds are falling on their garden. But if you listen to the Word of God, there's seeds that are being planted down in your heart that's going to produce. When I first started listening to the Bible on tape, I lived in a house where I had it all over the house. It was into every room in the house. And when I first put the Bible in, I think, turn that off! You know, get on your nerves. And then I realized that was the demon that wanted me to turn it off. So then I said, you demon that wants that turn off, get out of me. And now, you know, it doesn't ever bother me. So, praise the Lord. Okay, verse 3 says, for if you cry for discernment, do you need discernment? If you lift your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. Now, we're living in days when we need discernment and we need understanding. And so, almost every day, I get out on my knees and I say, I cry out for discernment, Lord! I cry out for wisdom! I cry out for understanding! I cry out for revelation knowledge! God tells us we're to seek it like we would silver or gold. Like we would seek hidden treasures. How many of you, if somebody told us that we had a treasure chest or even $100 buried in our backyard, we'd be out there at the shovel digging it, right? So God says you're to search after wisdom more than you would seek after silver or gold. Because wisdom, if you have wisdom, what does Ecclesiastes say about wisdom? Go to Ecclesiastes. I don't know what verse it is. If wisdom has an advantage, who knows that scripture? Let me find it, because I didn't plan to use it. Somebody help me here. Here it is. Ecclesiastes 10 says, if the axe is dull and he does not sharpen its edge, then he must exert more strength. Wisdom has the advantage of giving success. The Bible says all the paths of wisdom are paths of peace. When we walk the path of wisdom, then we're safe.
What verse were you reading there?
I was reading Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10. And then the scripture says that healing comes when we cry out. Psalms 30, verse 2. O Lord, my Lord, I cried to thee for help, and thou didst heal me. Psalms 31, 22. As for me, I said in my alarm, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou didst hear the voice of my supplications when I cried to thee. Hallelujah. Okay, somebody take 34:6. You take 34:6. And Linda, take Psalms 106:44. And we're saved from our troubles when we cry out. Okay, Psalms 34:6.
This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his trouble.
Mm. Hallelujah. Mm. Okay, Psalms 106:44.
Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry.
Mine says he looked upon their distress when he heard their cry. And then deliverance comes when we cry out. Sister, will you take Psalms 22:5? And sister, here on the second row, would you take Psalms 107:6? And this sister takes Psalms 107:13. And sister on the couch takes Psalms 107:19. And would you take Psalms 107:28? And then would you take Psalms 120, verse 1? Okay. First one, Psalms 22:5. Now this is when deliverance comes when we cry out. You need deliverance? I do. Mm-hmm. Psalms 22:5. Who has Psalms 22:5? Nobody? I'll say it then. To thee they cried out and were delivered. In thee they trusted and were not disappointed. Now verse Psalms 107:6.
Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses.
Okay, Psalms 107:13.
Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them from their distress.
Now Psalms 107:19.
Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses.
And then Psalms 107:28.
And they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distress.
There he brings them out. Okay, Psalms 120, verse 1.
In my distress I cried to the Lord, and he heard me.
Amen. So you see the importance of us crying out. Bill Gothard gives so many illustrations. One I remember him giving of a man who was 100 pounds overweight. He could do nothing to lose weight, and he started crying out to the Lord and lost those 100 pounds. And then the scripture gives us several commands to cry out. Psalms 50 verse 15 says, "And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I'll deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." And that word call means cry out. And there's two other passages that give the same instructions. One is Psalms 34:15, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry." Glory to God. Kind of like a mother that her ear is open to the cry of her babies. Psalms 34:17. "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and deliver them out of their troubles." All of their troubles. "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivered them out of their troubles." Psalms 56:9 says, "When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, God is for me." A further scripture on the importance of crying out is Jeremiah 33:3. "Call unto me, and I'll answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which you know not of." Now, does someone have another translation, a King James? Does somebody have King James? Okay, read it. If it's different.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what verse.
33:3, Jeremiah
33:3. "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not."
Amen. Now, to cry out, this is the definition of it. It means to cry out for help. It's a cry of deep distress. It's an outcry, a cry of distress, to call out with a loud sound, a ringing cry of entreaty, to shout a war cry of alarm, or an alarm, to cry out aloud and shout for help. It means to roar and be loud, to cry aloud with shrillness, to shout, outcry, to give a ringing cry, to cry and lament, to cry out and long for, to cry out for help, to implore aid, and to speak with a high, strong voice. I remember praying for this girl who had been satanically, ritually abused and had been into Satanism herself because that's all she knew. I mean, you know, when you grow up that way, you don't know nothing else. And if you cry in Satanism and they're trying to do something to you in a ritual, if you cry, they torture you more. And I said, "Cry out to the Lord." And she went, you see, if you have to think about a big hindrance to crying out to the Lord would be, how did you grow up? Could you cry out to your mother, to your daddy? If you cried out, would they say, "Shut up and be quiet"? I was blessed to have the kind of mother that if she thought there was a mosquito in my room, she'd be up trying to get it where it wouldn't bite me. I remember so many times if I had a bad dream, all I'd have to do, if I was distressed, my mom would come get in bed with me. Not everybody grew up like that. So when you cried out as a child, what happened? Were you punished? Were you told to shut up? Did they come to your aid? You see, however you're trained up would cause you to believe God was the same way. No use crying out, he's going to tell me to shut up. No use crying out, he's going to punish me. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? Because see, parents model for us a picture of what God's like. However your mother and daddy were, then you've received a lie that God's the same way. If it was good, it would be true. Or if it was bad, it would be a lie. Because we're seeing here in the Word that He cries out to those who's walking uprightly before Him. And so there's five factors that are essential for us for our cry to be heard. Is first of all, to recognize I'm helpless. I'm helpless without God. To realize that I'm hopeless without Him. If He doesn't come through for me, I'm hopeless. And then realizing that no one can solve my problem but Him. I don't know if you've been this way, but I've had many problems in my life where I'm thinking, God, if you don't come through, there's no answer for me. And I'm sure that y'all have had the same thing. And then it's essential that you surrender unconditionally. In fact, God's promises are conditional, conditioned upon your surrender. And then another thing that is essential is for you to have expect results. If you couldn't expect results from your earthly parent, then you won't be expecting results from God. So in that case, you have to deal with how you were trained up to forgive your parents for their failures. And then that clears the way for you to receive the truth. You see, when we don't forgive our mother and father, or we judge our mother and father, what happens? It puts a block between us and God. And so we won't get nothing from God till we deal with mother and daddy issues. And so all of us have had parents that, you know, have different characteristics. And so in a minute when we pray, I want you to forgive your parents for all the negative things you can think about them, not because you're trying to dishonor them, but so that you can get some of the blocks between you and God moved out of the way. Because the judgments you make on your parents set in motion forces for you to keep on reaping the same thing. And so God wants to open the windows of heaven towards you. He has a lake of blessing He wants to pour to you. But the judgments we make on our parents put log jams between us and God. And so many times in deliverance, we're trying to deal with this or we're trying to deal with that, and we've got to go back and get mom and daddy out of the way by forgiving them for their poor stewardship of us. And then that takes care of the lie that we believed about God. Like your parents were unforgiving and you have a hard time believing God will forgive you. See, that goes back to a mom and dad that wouldn't forgive you. So you got to forgive them for that. And in a minute when we pray, don't say, I forgive them for all these things. In deliverance, you've got to be specific. I forgive my dad. He was a couch potato. I forgive my mother. She was a drunk. I forgive my dad for abandoning me. I forgive my mother and father for divorce. Specific. And see, those are moving things out from between you and God. Okay, and there's eight reasons why God may not hear our cry. There may be more, but these are the ones I have. Not crying out with a whole heart, being phony about it. Not crying out with genuine humility. The Bible says the humble get grace. Humble yourself in the presence of the Lord and He will exalt you. Not crying out with a loud voice. Not being sincere when we repent. Repentance is more than telling God you're sorry. It means stop doing what you're doing. It means I'm walking this way and I'm walking the wrong way. God, please forgive me. I repent. It means I turn around and go God's way. Okay, not being sincere when we repent. Not fulfilling past vows. Not giving to the needs of the poor. God says if you shut your ears to the cry of the poor, that He will ignore you in your time of need. And then not resolving anger and bitterness, letting the sun go down on your anger. And then another reason why God may not hear your cry is you're viewing God like you viewed your mom and dad. And then that can be taken care of by dealing with mother and daddy issues and forgiving mom and dad. You know, to honor your mother and father means that you forgive them by sundown for their poor stewardship of you. Honor doesn't mean you have to carry them around on a pedestal. It doesn't mean you have to pattern your life after them. It doesn't mean that if they're evil, you don't have to fellowship with them. But it means that you forgive them of their poor stewardship by sundown. And when you don't, when you let the sun go down on your anger, you give a mighty foothold to the devil. And the prayer of Jabez was effective and powerful because he was actually crying out, and it wasn't just a prayer, because he wanted God to enlarge the ministry and do whatever was necessary to enlarge his coast or enlarge his ministry. So what I want you to do is I want you to stand up and ask the Lord to show you, are there any of these things in your life that would block you from crying out? And I want you to think about things in your life you've been praying for years and they've never changed. And then I want you to cry out to God for those things when we get through. Okay? So, Lord, search my heart.
Lord, search my heart.
And test my thoughts. And, Lord, show me if there's anything in my life that you want to be removed. Show me any hindrance to me crying out. Thank you for showing me my need to cry out. And show me what you want me to cry out for. Lord, I forgive my mother and father that they never came to my rescue. I forgive them that it was like I wasn't there.
I forgive them that it was like I wasn't there.
I forgive them for letting people hurt me.
I forgive them for letting people hurt me.
And hurting me.
And
not protecting me.
And
I forgive them that I wasn't important to them.
They were wrapped up in their own selfishness.
And all the things you've shown me, Lord, the negative characteristics. I truly forgive them. I forgive them that I never could count on them.
I forgive them that
I just had to keep silent about my pain. And Lord, I recognize I'm helpless.
I forgive my parents
for teaching me that the Lord helped those that help themselves. That's such a lie. Lord, I've never been able to help myself. And I felt guilty about it. Thank you that you help me when I cry out to you. And Lord, forgive me for pride and not humbling myself and crying to you. God, forgive me for realizing that no one could solve my problem. But forgive me for not thinking that you could solve it. Lord, I surrender unconditionally. I confess my sins. Thank you that you're faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Thank you that you're a forgiving God. I forgive my parents that I never could make it right with them. And that's made me believe I can never get it right with you. And that's such a lie. Because you died on the cross for my sin, for my pain, and for my sickness. And you're not like my earthly parents. You're perfect. And Lord, forgive me for not crying out with a whole heart and with genuine humility and with a loud voice. Forgive me for worrying about what people are going to think about me. Forgive me for not being sincere. And breaking, and Lord, for all the vows I've made, I just ask that they be broken. Forgive me for vowing that I don't need anybody. I'll take care of myself.
I'll show you.
I'll never love you again.
I'll never ask you for anything
again. And I don't need you. I break those vows. Lord, forgive me for anger and bitterness and unforgiveness. And Lord, forgive me for believing that you're just like my mother and dad. Lord, you're not. You're a perfect, holy, wonderful God. In Jesus' name. Now I want you to stand up. And I want whatever you've been wanting God to do or change in your life, I want you to cry out for it in the name of Jesus. I want you to pray just a minute. What is it that you've been seeking God for so long? Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. And cry out for the thing or things that you've been wanting in your life. Okay? Ready? God help me! The bottle. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self control. Okay, if anybody wants to be baptized in the Holy Spirit or need prayer, Jane, would you come up here? And Patty and Jane and Debbie and Mrs. Stone here? Is she here?
She's not here.
Okay. Linda? Does anybody want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Has everybody been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Well, hallelujah. You have?
I haven't.
Oh, come on up. Yeah, I want to. Come over here. What is your name, sweetie?
Brenda Freeman.
Brenda. Okay, just come up if you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And Patty, if you have time, oh, you're praying for somebody. Okay, is there anybody else I need to get up here?
Indira, did you have your
hand? I already put that down.
You need anybody else? Okay, you want to lay hands? Okay. Praise you, Lord.
Thank you.
Lord, extend your hand to heal in the name of Jesus. Just let the air come out. Stay with me. Lord, if y'all pray with me, I renounce all witchcraft.
Lord, I renounce all witchcraft.
Any fortune telling.
Any fortune telling.
Any covenants made to Satan.
Any covenants made to Satan.
Heart of Buddha.
Heart of Buddha.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Praise you, Lord.
I praise you, Lord.
I break all covenants of death.
I break all covenants of death.
Thank you for coming up here. Your name is Laura.
No, I'm Debbie.
You're Debbie. Okay, Laura, come on, girl.
I was sitting back over in the corner. I was like, she knew I was here.
I was thinking she was Debbie. Isn't that terrible?
I'm glad.
Praise you, Lord. I need to turn this thing off. Oh, here it is. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.